On behalf of Father Nate, Deacon Alex, the assurance of our prayers for you and your family to have a truly blessed and Merry Christmas. The Lord has, it's always good to have Father Nate home and Deacon Alex home, and we got lots of big things coming up here next year, so it's going to be a great year again here at St. Mary's with yet another ordination and first Mass, so we're really looking forward to that. Next year will be Father Alex. So, the Lord's certainly given us, blessed us with winter weather this weekend. I keep hoping, maybe I should actually turn that hope into prayer. I keep hoping that one year on Christmas Eve, it'll be not too cold, no wind, and that beautiful straight down snowfall on Christmas Eve. I see a lot of nodding. Yeah, not nodding off yet. I know it's late, but nodding. The memories, right? The specialness. Our memory reminds us of who we are, where we come from. It goes to our identity. I want to share with you one of my great memories as a kid. And it has to do with midnight mass. I don't remember how old I was, but I was, I'm guessing, five, maybe six. And we come to midnight mass, and it was cold like this, where the snow crunches under your feet. And I remember walking from the car towards the church, and St. Mary's and St. Joe's is a very, very large set of stairs going up. They have two giant spires. Large set of stairs, and at the time went to two wooden, great big wooden doors. We're walking from the car, and to this day, I can still picture vividly my right boot taking a step in the crunch of the snow, and just the sense of how cold it was. We made our way to the bottom of the stairs and went up those steps, all the way up to the doors, and those big wooden doors opened. And at the time, like the old days, like it was here, there was that kind of short vestibule before you got to the inside doors. And there were the votive candles. And you could smell the melting wax. You could smell the old incense from all the adoration that Father Donnelly did. And then the inside doors opened. And there were the lights, the candles on that high altar, lit, welcoming into this not yet lighted church. And that's the last of the memory I have, because I fell asleep shortly thereafter. And then the next thing I know, Santa Claus had come. Why do I talk about this? Because these traditions are what's important in our lives. It helps to put an exclamation point on the specialness of that which we celebrate. We don't celebrate midnight mass at all, except on Christmas, and the next closest thing is the Easter Vigil, which starts at 8:30 and ends about midnight, because they're uniquely special. Uniquely special celebrations where we worship God. And tonight we celebrate the coming of our Lord into our very human condition. He comes, yes, as a baby, but that baby is what I would like to call a warrior of love. What do I mean by that? He came to wage war, not on us, but to wage war on that which harms us. Sin and the powers of sin, he came to wage war. He did not come to wage war on us, and he indicates that because he comes as an infant. He comes helpless, vulnerable. That vulnerability is the very necessary essence of what it is to love another or to be loved. Notice that he's wrapped in these swaddling clothes. And probably shared this with you. You know, we think of them as nice, comfy little, I don't know what kids have, but whatever's in those little baskets there that make them really warm and comfortable. That's not what it was. Swaddling clothes is almost like a prefigurement of his burial wraps, where he couldn't move. They would do that to a child. And here, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God Himself, condescends into our very existence, taking on our human nature while remaining God, but doing it in a vulnerable way so that anybody could take advantage. And indeed, Herod would try. We'll read about that in the near future. There he says, I have come to fight, not you, but on behalf of you, that warrior of love. Note too, who does this Christmas message first reach? Shepherds. Now again, almost like the swaddling clothes where you have this nice little cute, comfy, warm image, that's not the shepherds. The shepherds were scoundrels. So much so that in their time, if they were the only witness to a crime, there couldn't even be a trial because their testimony was already de facto unacceptable because they were so much, they were such scoundrels. That's who the message comes to first. Again, why? To tell them and to tell us, I have come not for those who have earned my love, because guess what? He wouldn't arrive. Nobody can. But rather, I've come for those who need my love, who need my mercy. Who is that? These scoundrel shepherds, the tax collectors, the dictatorial, murderous leaders of the history of mankind, and me and you. That's who he's come for. He's come to wage war with divine mercy. There's a singular word with which we can sum up the purpose of the mission of the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son of God taking on our human nature, Jesus the Christ. There's one word that sums it all up, and it's mercy. With it, we have the promise of eternal life. With it, we share in His birth, in His life, and in His resurrection. And in the meantime, we share in His very body, blood, soul, and divinity. Where is He placed when He's born? In the manger. In what town? Bethlehem. House of bread. The manger was not a crib. The manger was a feeding trough. All that by design to show us that I have come into your existence. I give myself to you at the beginning, during, and after for all eternity. There's just one question for all of us. Do we, like Mary, at that invitation, say, Fiat, yes, I accept. In a few minutes, we get to receive the newborn King of the Jews, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Do we say in reception of Him and in proclamation of Him, Fiat? And in doing so, go out to a world in darkness to tell them what this newborn king has done to change my life. That's the Christmas message.